So Holy Spirit, thank you so much for being here. We just welcome your presence. Father, will you come right now and just open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to see you, to hear you, to experience you this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much that you are right here. You are so close to us. You are more real to us right now than our own breath, our own skin, the chair that we're sitting on. Father, we ask you that you would come with your love and just baptize us. Father, with your Holy Spirit and with that extravagant love of yours, Lord, will you just begin to bring down any walls that we've placed in our hearts between you and between ourselves? Father, will you come and just begin to open up our minds? Father, any area where the enemy's been trying to hold us back or situations and circumstances in our lives that have held us back from knowing you and to coming into a radical experience of who you are and being changed forever by who you are in our lives. Father, will you come and just remove anything that is not of you and just come and sit next to us and be our best friend right now this morning, Lord. And Father, even with the words that are to come out of my mouth, Father, I pray that it would just be so straight from your heart that it would almost feel like, you know, each individual here in this room is having you whisper in their ears. And Father, let it be that incredible encounter like that little girl shared about just seeing you sitting next to her bed. Father, will you just come and sit next to us right now? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, so good. Oh, it's such a privilege and an honor to be at TACF Scarborough. It's just so wonderful. I love church plants, and I love church planting. North York was actually the second church that I planted out of TACF, and with Central TACF Central, which is the young adult campus downtown. And it is such an adventure. Church planting is just so wonderful, and we get to experience God in new ways, and just really the intimacy that comes in a smaller gathering, and just getting to know each other and know everyone's names. I remember when one time at TACF North York, I was shaking everyone's hand, and I realized I knew everyone's name except a couple, and I was like, "Yes, God!" You know, and you always want new people to come in, so it's okay if you don't know everyone's name, but it's so wonderful, and I love being here. It is such a privilege and a blessing. And Ramesh and Elsie asked me to speak on ungodly beliefs and inner vows. And this is a topic that is very, very special to me and I'm very passionate about, because it has so radically changed my life. And so I would really encourage you, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, to take it out, to leave it out. Not even so much for notes, but if you are a note taker, that's wonderful. But also during ministry time, I really feel that God is going to really speak to us. And so if you have a pen and paper, if you have extra pens and extra paper, feel free to offer it to the neighbor next to you. But if you have it, that would be really great. Okay. Also, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Romans 12, verse 2. And those who don't have your Bibles with you, drop and give me 10 right now. I'm kidding. Romans 12, verse 2. I'm going to read it out in the NASB. And do not be conformed to this world. I'm going to read that one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I want to read this one more time. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How many of you know that God has a very perfect and wonderful will in your life for you? Amen. Yeah. Like, I just want to just encourage each one of you that God is not done with you. He is not finished with us. He has incredible things that he has stored up for us. He has surprises and discoveries for us to stumble upon and to find. And in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how he has laid out mysteries for us to discover. And I feel like I want to speak prophetically into each one of your spirit that God has laid out mysteries and treasures for each one of you to discover even today, even now. He has so much more for you. His will for you is so great. And what God wants us to do is to renew our minds so that we can come into a place where we can step into his will. Amen? So basically what we're going to talk about is ungodly beliefs to begin with, and then we'll touch on inner vows. And I just want to say before I get into this that we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. Some of what I'm going to be talking about today is going to be like major light bulbs going off. It's like, wow, God, it makes so much sense. But then I also want you to know that the process of the healing of the heart is a process. Right? Just because we deal with ungodly beliefs on a Sunday morning, I'm done, I'm good, everything's great, I'm perfect now. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, right? God wants us to continually walk in sanctification, continually walk in greater levels of healing and in greater depths of who he is. And so you may find that God will highlight an ungodly belief, a major ungodly belief that's been a theme in your life, and he's going to give you the truth to squash that ungodly belief. But it could be for a month from now, God will highlight another one, right? Just to let you know, the entire pastoral team is told to go on a healing week at least once every 2 years. You know, I think we need it once every 6 months, but you know. And these healing weeks are times where we go to really deal with our stuff, you know, to deal with our issues of our heart, to deal with hurts in our past, and to deal with the things in our hearts that cause us to you know, get on each other's nerves and to hurt one another. And it's awesome because every time, even those of us with a title, you know, end up going and getting our ungodly beliefs checked out, and we come back with like 60 ungodly beliefs. You know, the last healing week that I went on, I had at least 45 ungodly beliefs I still believed, you know, even after years of God doing major surgery on my heart. And so this is definitely a process. So a lot of the way that we live and behave in the world, in our day-to-day life, is based on what we believe. And all of us have a set of belief systems that control and dictate the way that we live, right? So, for instance, it could be something as little and as simple as, I like Cottonelle toilet paper. I just think it's softer, you know? And so you'll just pick that toilet paper when you go grocery shopping. Or something as silly as, you know, this route I believe is going to be a shortcut or less traffic, or, you know, and so I drive that way. And so there's different, everything we do is based on a set of beliefs, right? And so what we're talking about is what we believe that is untrue is what we're going to call ungodly beliefs. And we have this little, you know, sometimes we short form it into UBGs, you know, or UGBs. We have these UGBs. And so these ungodly beliefs are lies. And they're lies that are told to ourselves about God, about others, or even me. So sometimes the ungodly beliefs that I may have to do with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, or has to do with life, has to do with myself, has to do with the Lord. The definition of a ungodly definition of a belief is that it's a conviction, right? It's a persuasion that develops over a period of time that we see the world from in our own unique perspectives. A belief is not necessarily, and this is the key, a belief is not necessarily based on fact, but it's based on what we've experienced and what we've learned. Okay, and that's going to be a big key. So godly beliefs, so the belief system is a set of lenses. Okay, so if you can imagine, you know, wearing, you know, in sunglasses, you have those green sunglasses, right? If you were to imagine yourself with a green pair of lenses, everything you look out looks green, right? And same with, like, you know, when someone says that you're in love, everyone says, oh, she's got rose-tinted glasses on. You know, everything looks rosy. But belief systems are just like that. They're like lenses that we see through. So what happens is that these lenses contain things such as beliefs, decisions, attitudes, agreements, judgments, expectations, and inner vows. So these beliefs make up a lot of that. So godly beliefs are statements that are in agreement with God, which is in agreement with his character, his word. Okay. And ungodly beliefs are beliefs that are not in accordance with God, his word, his character, his nature. Though ungodly beliefs are false, they may appear to be true based on our experiences. However, they are untrue according to the word of God. So, for example, some really common ungodly beliefs are things like no one loves me, right? Or I am not acceptable. Or I'm a failure. I'm a defect. God doesn't love me. One of my biggest ungodly beliefs that I've struggled with for most of my life was, it's like a tape recorder that plays over your head, was, I am stupid. And this is something that I would say to myself on the most ridiculous things. Like, for instance, if I were to pour myself a glass of water and I spilt a little bit, I would say, you're so stupid. I'm so stupid. Or like, if I would trip on something, I'm so stupid. If I would even something as simple as saying hello to Jill and I said it too exuberantly, oh, I'm so stupid. Or too, hey, you know, I'm so stupid. You know, everything's, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. It was like this tape recorder in my head that was constantly, I'm so stupid. To the point where when I heard this teaching of the ungodly beliefs, I realized that I'm so stupid would play in my head even when I wasn't doing anything. You know, when my mind wasn't even thinking about anything, the one thing that was on repeat was, I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. I'm so stupid. And God had to majorly challenge this ungodly belief in my life. And I'll tell you a little bit more of this testimony as we go on. So some of you have tape recorders going on in your mind that it could be something like, I'm a failure, or I'm not accepted, or God doesn't love me for who I am, or I need to prove that I'm better. Whatever it is, that there's this tape recorder of lies that are going on through our minds. Most ungodly beliefs, and this is a tricky part where the father of lies, Satan, right? This is the tricky part. Most ungodly beliefs are a mixture of truth and error. And so it's difficult to point it out, right? So as the Holy Spirit sanctifies our minds and our belief systems begin to change from a mixture of mostly ungodly beliefs to more godly beliefs. So how many of you heard about Mark Verkler, who does the Hearing God's Voice teaching? Yeah? Okay, if you have never done a healing or a Hearing God's Voice seminar with Mark Verkler, please, please do it. I think we offer a free seminar at least twice a year at TACF, and we just passed one, so that's okay. There's probably going to be one in the fall. And it's free. It's 2 days, and it's an incredible seminar. But when I was learning about to hear God's voice with Mark Verkler, he said that 80% of our thoughts are ungodly. 80. I'm like, wow. And 20% are positive. 80% are negative, and 20% are positive. And then he said, what would it be like if God so sanctified and renewed our minds that we were thinking 80% positive and godly and 20% negative and ungodly? And that so challenged me because I realized when he said that, that he was absolutely correct in my life. I've always been a pretty bubbly person. I've always been pretty optimistic. I'm the glass half full kind of person. And yet 80% of my mind was negative and meditating on things that are ungodly. And I realized, I was like, Lord, forgive me because I have been agreeing with Satan 80% of the time. Right? And so it's allowing God to sanctify us so that the majority of our thoughts become godly beliefs and not ungodly beliefs. So there are two major ways that ungodly beliefs are formed. There are other ways beyond this, but we're going to touch on the two that are most common. The first one is the natural or unredeemed mind. Okay, and I'm going to go into that a lot more. And the second one is the experiences of hurt. I'm going to start with experiences. Oftentimes, all our belief systems are made up and our behaviors made up from early childhood. And this is something that any psychologist, any person who's taking a psychology course, and if you have, you know this. You know, modern psychology says that our personality and our issues develop within the first 5 years of our existence, right? And some of you are nodding your head. You know what I'm talking about. I remember when I was in the school of ministry and God was like wrecking me with this stuff. I talked to a friend of mine who was a psychology major at U of T. And I was talking to her on the phone and I was telling her all the stuff that God was doing in my life and some of the major traumas that happened within my first 5 years. You know, as part of my testimony is that my father was extremely physically and verbally abusive to the point where we had to escape from him and we had to run away. And the Lord was such an amazing father to us. And that's a whole other story. But all the trauma that I received in the first 5 years of my life had truly defined me. And I was telling my friend, and God did this and he healed me of this and he changed me in this way. And then she stopped me. She's like, wait, stop, Linda. Are you saying that the experience that happened in the first 5 years of your life that we believe as psychologists are irreversible, are you saying that they're reversible? I'm like, yeah, Holy Spirit can totally reverse it. And that was exactly what it was. God completely began to transform basic, foundational, fundamental hurts and pains in my life that has caused me to live on a certain track, you know? And so same with ungodly beliefs. A lot of our ungodly beliefs have been formed from a very early age. It could even be from when you were young, what your parents said to you, what your teachers said to you, what your principal said to you, what people around you, your peers have said to you. Oftentimes, these ungodly beliefs form that way. Or it could even just be experience such as, I know this is a simple example, but some of you may be able to relate to it, like something like, you know, childhood hurts and traumas with negative experiences that make a strong impression. For instance, if, you know, your father never came to any of your ball games, right? Or if no one showed up to your birthday parties, you would have form an ungodly belief that would sound something like, I am not important because my dad does not have time for me. Or my dad will not be there when I need him. Or I'm not worth showing up for. Right? And so these hurtful experiences can just create these ungodly beliefs and to form about who we are. Some more serious ungodly beliefs can come when a child tries, for instance, to stop parents from fighting, but is pushed away in anger, right? It's an example. For instance, you know, a child will think, things would be better if I had not been born, or my life is a mistake. Or it's better to keep my mouth shut and my feelings to myself. If I express them, I'll just get in trouble, right? And so then we end up emotionally stunting ourselves through these ungodly beliefs. The foundations of our belief system that is laid throughout our childhood is then distorted, right? And so our life, which is built on that foundation, will also be distorted. So for instance, if I'm living my life thinking that I wish I was never born, every interaction I have with anybody, I will think it's better if they don't know me. It's better if I'm not even in their life, right? In addition, these negative experiences can occur during adult life and cause additional ungodly beliefs to form. In the end, they also reinforce the ungodly beliefs we've already been carrying. So for instance, with me, and I'm stupid, this is something that I've lived with my whole life. And for instance, if anything, even something as little as I fumble with my words or stick my foot in my mouth, which I was very famous for, I would always say I'm so stupid, you know, just confirm and affirm the fact that I was stupid, to the point where I remember telling myself that I had no vision for my future. I always said to myself that because I'm so stupid, I can't get a socially acceptable job. Because I'm so stupid, maybe all I can do is work at a daycare, you know? Little did I know, people who work in daycare are brilliant and have to learn early education skills, and I didn't know any of that. I'm like, I wasn't like this little girl here who's like, doctor is one of my options, yeah, you know? I was like, yeah, that's never happening for me. I'm too stupid. And so many of my issues came around that whole issue, the whole area. And so what would happen was I remember wanting to go to university, but not knowing for what. I just thought, I should go to university because at least I'll just barely pass by the skin of my teeth and at least I'll have something. And I remember I was walking across the street and the Lord arrested me and he took a hold of me and he said, Linda, why are you going to university? I was just like, I don't know. This is what it was. Sorry. What I wanted to do was be a kindergarten teacher because in my mind, I thought I'm too stupid to be a doctor or to even be a regular teacher, which again, I'm like, that's how ungodly beliefs work. They're so twisted. Now I have kindergarten teachers for friends and they work so hard and they are absolutely brilliant. But again, with my ungodly beliefs, it was like this lens over my eyes. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I said to myself, I'm so stupid. I just want to be a kindergarten teacher because all I'll know how to do is to teach the kids to color and to take a nap. And maybe they're 1-2-3s, literally. I was like, that's the only socially acceptable job I could possibly do because I'm so stupid. And I remember the Lord said to me one day, he said, Linda, why do you want to become a teacher? And I said, I love kids. I love kids so much, which is true. And he said, no. Why do you want to be a teacher? I love teaching. That was also true. He's like, okay, no. But Linda, why do you really want to be a teacher? And I remember thinking, because I feel too stupid to do anything else. And that's when God was like, that's right. That's why I don't want you to go to university, and that's why I am not going to I'm asking you to not become a teacher. Because he knew that I was basing my entire life on the foundation of a major ungodly belief, right? And so what happened was, back then I was the kind of person that planned my life. I did a 1-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 15-year plan, a 30-year plan. You know, I had everything laid out. And by me not becoming a teacher, God was totally messing with my 10-year plan. You know, I was like, what? Oh my gosh. And so at that time I had to deny my acceptance to university. And I was just like, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. And since then, he's led me on this incredible journey with him. And I've just recently started going back to university. I'm 27 years old, and I'm in my second year of university. I'm taking political science, and just recently, I got my first 2 A-pluses. I know. Amen. But do you know what I mean? That is totally a God thing, because I know that in and of myself, according to what I believed about myself, it was impossible for me to achieve anything that possibly that in that way. And so that's why God wants each one of us to deal with our ungodly beliefs, because it's totally stopping us from the calling that God has for us. So also, some of our ungodly beliefs form from our natural minds. And what that means is, this is the largest source of ungodly belief, just so you know, okay? The largest source of ungodly beliefs comes from the natural mind. They seem logical and appealing, yet they're tainted by the ideals of worldly success, right? Or popularity and the self-made man. Oftentimes, if you'll notice, your ungodly beliefs will be something like, your identity is hooked up with what you do for your work, right? Oftentimes, you'll find that if you feel like you're not doing what you want to do, I'm doing this because I want to be successful, because I want to be popular, because I want to have some sort of meaning in my life. Oftentimes what we do is based out of that. An example for an ungodly belief that's formed in the natural mind is Hollywood, right? I know for me, and some of you may not necessarily relate to this story of mine, but for me, being a young person, before I met Sam and before I ever... I've never dated anyone. He was my first boyfriend and my fiance, my husband. And so I actually never dated. And so I remember before I met Sam, I had a whole bunch of issues to do with myself because of Hollywood. I thought to myself, I will always be choice number 2. I'll always be plan B for someone, because plan A will always be this beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, tall Nicole Kidman type person, you know? I always had these ungodly beliefs in my mind of, I'm not as beautiful as someone with big pillow lips, you know, or I am not as good looking as so-and-so and such and such. And we have all these ungodly beliefs in our minds that degrade who we are based on what pop culture says. I know oftentimes with even our self-image and things like that, if we actually begin to think to ourselves, the Lord, where do these beliefs that I have about myself and my value come from? We'll often find that it's things of the world, things of society, things of entertainment, you know, the world image that is projected onto us over and over again, right? And so that's a major part of our ungodly belief. Another part of our ungodly beliefs comes from family heritage. So for instance, through family heritage, different parents and will have different political views, different racial views, different educational and relationship views. We inherit prejudice about other people and other races and other cultures, right? For instance, being Korean, there's a lot of hatred amongst Koreans towards the Chinese and Japanese, because for the most of Koreans' existence, we've been occupied by either Japan or China. And so there's a lot of issues. So for instance, I would have my grandmother would say something like, she was so progressive, you know, she's so progressive. She's like, you can marry anybody you want. He can be anybody. He can be white. He can be Korean. He can be brown. He can be anything. Just don't marry a Chinese, you know, or something like that, you know, just don't do that. And so it's like, wow, you're so progressive. And then, whoa, that's so backwards, you know? So you end up having these prejudices that are formed in our hearts that are untrue and ungodly. Also, repetition is a major form of reinforcing ungodly beliefs. For instance, if you're constantly hearing something from someone else saying, you're an idiot, you're stupid, you're a jerk, you're horrible, or you're a failure, what that does is it reinforces our ungodly beliefs over and over and over again. And so oftentimes that's where, you know, our family relationships or our teachers or our colleagues really affect us, because what it does is it says one ungodly belief and then just keeps arrowing it over and over again, right? Another form of ungodly belief comes in misguided comfort. You know, can you imagine if a little boy scrapes his knee and goes crying to mommy, and mommy says, oh, don't cry, boys don't cry, right? All of a sudden, an ungodly belief in men that says, I can't show my emotions. I can't be vulnerable because otherwise I look like a girl. What's wrong with looking like a girl? No, I'm kidding. but you know what I mean? We have all these ridiculous ungodly beliefs, stuff just that come from our past. This can lead to ungodly beliefs such as, it's not okay for me to feel something and be really hurt about something. Or, people who love me don't accept my feelings. It's not all right to cry. And so what happens is these ungodly beliefs form a belief expectation cycle. And I love this. I wish I had like a board that I can write it on. But a belief expectation cycle is, let me give you an example of rejection. For me, rejection was a major issue. I would reject Jill before she would reject me. I'd be like, hey, and not stop to talk, because I know if she wanted to talk to me, then she'd find out really how empty I was and what a bore I was, right? So I'd be like, hey, and before she even had a chance to get to know me, I was like out the door. I'm like, I'm not talking to you because I don't want you to discover who I am, right? And so, for instance, if rejection could be, let's use rejection as an example. If you can imagine a circle, just a big circle. Let me just do this. Imagine a big circle on this projector. At the top of the circle, it says experience. In this part of the circle, it says belief. And on this section, it says actions. Okay? So it's belief. So this is our expectation. So it's our experience, our expectation, and our action. So what happens is, let's say my first experience was to get deeply wounded through rejection, right? I got hurt big time by rejection. Then what happens is it forms a belief in my heart that I am rejected, that no one will love me, that I am a person who is rejected, which then creates my experiences to be someone who behaves as someone who is rejected. And I will reject before I get rejected, so that by the time I get back to my experiences, Jill isn't inviting me for coffee. Why isn't Jill inviting me for coffee? She's inviting everyone else for coffee. Why not me? Well, Linda, you won't even stop to say two words beyond hello to Jill, right? Because you're acting like you're already rejected. So then what happens is, for instance, I get rejected, then I believe I'm rejected, then I begin to behave like I'm rejected, then that reinforces my experiences, right? And so that happens over and over and over again. You think about that with what our belief cycle in finances, in money, right? We experience something in our finances, then we create a belief expectation cycle, we create an expectation, and then we behave that way over and over and over again. Like, for instance, for me, I grew up with a major poverty mentality, big time, right? Anytime I got money, I had to spend it because I felt like it was going to be taken away from me. To the point where every single time I got paid, I would have to buy myself something extravagant. And then guess what? You know, the Wednesday before paycheck, I'm like eating breadcrumbs, you know, trying to like scrape up together. I'm like, I'm so poor. I don't have any money. And God is like, you spent half of it on the first day you got paid. You know, and it's like this expectation. And finally, when God broke it, I was standing in front of a store looking at a pile of sweaters, and I was so angry in my heart because it was too much. I couldn't afford it. And I was like, God, this is just so ridiculous. I'm your daughter, and I can't even afford a sweater. I was so mad. And then God stopped me, and he said, Linda, look around the store. And I began to look and peruse and saw all the beautiful clothing. And he said, it is all yours. You can have every single one of them. I was like, huh? He's like, yep. You can buy everything in this store, max out all of your credit cards in anything in this mall, and tomorrow I'll give you the finances to start paying it off. And in my heart, that completely revolutionized my heart. That began me on a journey of discovering my ungodly beliefs to do with money and realizing my ungodly beliefs to do with God, that he is not my provider, that I have to be my provider, that I have to be responsible, that he won't provide for me. And when he said that to me, I just looked back at that sweater and it wasn't that cute anymore. It's like, oh, if this whole store is mine, then why do I have to have that, you know? And all of a sudden, God started teaching me how to not live from paycheck to paycheck. He began to teach me how to start saving. And my life began to be transformed. And it's like, okay, God, forgive me for getting trapped in this belief expectation cycle with my ungodly beliefs through my experiences, right? So just to give you again what an ungodly belief is. Is an ungodly belief is a belief that you believe based on your experience that is actually untrue according to God's word. Okay? So what happens with ungodly beliefs? Ungodly beliefs by definition are ungodly, which means it blocks our faith in Jesus Christ. It blocks our faith in God and the truth of his promises. They also hinder God's ability to bless us because faith is a key component in the release of God's blessing. You know, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. I love this passage because it is so much more than just saying in your mind, yeah, God exists. I know God exists. In the area of my finances, I believed God exists as a healer, but I did not believe that he existed as my provider, right? And that is huge. That is massive because if I don't believe that God exists as my provider, then I don't get to appropriate his riches and his blessings in my life as my provider, right? It says our ungodly beliefs undermine our relationship with God, right? For instance, some ungodly beliefs, common ungodly beliefs we have about God are things like, no matter how hard I try, I will not be perfect enough for God, right? I'll not be able to please him. Or God is waiting for me to make a mistake and he's going to like crash me with his lightning bolt. Or God cares for others more than he cares for me. And this is a big one. How many of you have ever noticed that you have all the faith in the world for someone else's freedom and someone else's deliverance and someone else's provision, but like zero faith for myself, right? How many of us believe that if someone else, if Deborah prays for me, God will answer her prayers? You know, we used to do that to my mom. My mom is a prayer warrior and she is an intercessor. She is in the throne room of God. And it's so funny because I'll still hear my younger sister say this to my mom once in a while. Mom, can you pray for me? Because God listens to you, right? Or like, you know, if mom prays that things will go well, things will go well. Or, you know, we have these ridiculous ungodly beliefs when we really begin to ask God and base it against his word that says God is not a respecter person, that he hears us when we cry to him, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that really those ungodly beliefs don't match up to his word, right? So they undermine our relationship with God. Can you imagine if I have this attitude of God loves Deborah more than he loves me, then guess what? I'm not going to go to God with confidence. I'm not going to approach his throne room with confidence, right? God's higher level of truth goes beyond our experiences, right? So in order for us to be transformed into the image of God through our mind, what we need to do is we need to look at the facts. Okay, so for instance, I said to you earlier, just a few seconds ago, that our ungodly beliefs are based on experiences that may be true, but they're not based on the truth of God's word. I'm going to give you an example. My business failed, or I got into a car accident. Actually, Sam and I did get into a car accident, so I'll use that as an example. So Sam and I did something really illegal and really bad. The fact that I'm sharing this and like, oh Lord, I'm walking in the light. Sam had his drivers changed over from Manitoba license to a Ontario license, and he had to change his plates. He had to change everything, as well as his insurance, because he had Manitoba insurance and he had to change it over to Ontario insurance. But in the process of changing everything over, Sam tried to get insurance by himself without a broker. And if any of you have ever tried that, it is a process full of headaches. Like, you're going round and round in circles. You're getting terrible quotes. And so Sam was getting kind of discouraged in the meantime. And so we decided we're going to park the car until we get our insurance. But through life's chaos, we decided to take out the car because we're like, we need to drive the car. We need to get from point A to point B. And so we drove the car even without fully finishing our insurance process. And we drove into our parking garage and got into an accident. And we're like, oh my God. And we're like, Lord, we deserve to get fined. We deserve to go to prison. You know, we've broken the law. I was just freaking right out. But I said, Lord, I know that I deserve to be punished. We deserve, because we've done something terrible. We've done something wrong. But Lord, I ask you for your mercy. Right? I ask you to have mercy on this situation. Have mercy on Sam and I. Please, Lord, you know, come and have mercy. And here's the thing. I realized just how much God dealt with my state of mind, because normally I would think we're screwed. Oh my gosh, our insurance is going to go up. We can never have a car ever, ever, ever again. You know, this is, you know, it's going to go on our records. We're going to get our license taken away from us and all this freaking out craziness. That would be my normal reaction. But in this particular situation, I heard God's voice saying, even you in your greatest mistake, I will turn it around for good, right? Even if, worst case scenario, our license, our insurance goes skyrocketing way beyond what we can afford, who's our provider? God. Who's going to take care of us? Who has told me? Who has told each one of us not to worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself? Who said to us, that each one of us, that as God takes care of the sparrows, he is faithful to take care of us, right? As he is faithful to clothe the lilies of the field, how much more will he clothe us? And I realized, I'm like, God, even in our greatest mistake, because you are God, you will take care of the situation. You know, have you ever noticed, whenever we talk about a promise of God, sometimes we have, this is what I call the spirit of but, right? I'll explain. The spirit of but is something that God has really challenged me about, is when I say to Jill, Jill, God loves you. And Jill says, yeah, but I didn't see him come through the other day. Right? I say, you know what, Jill? He is with you always, and he's always speaking to you. Yeah, but I can't hear him. Yeah, but all of our yeah, but spirits are guaranteed ungodly beliefs. Guaranteed. You know, God is your provider. Yeah, but my rent's due tomorrow. What, God didn't open the Red Sea in like a split second? You know, are we talking about a God that's made out of plastic? You know, if we were serving a God made out of plastic, yeah, but is definitely legitimate, right? It's like, yeah, I serve this plastic pen cap and it's my provider, but yeah, I would say but too, you know? But we're serving a supernatural God. We're serving a God who is the I Am, who, you know, splits open the Red Sea, who causes manna to fall from the ground, who is every single one of us I know in this room have experienced a supernatural, you know, supernatural testimony. He has a supernatural testimony. I know that every single one of us. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we cannot have a yeah, but spirit, right? Either God is God or he is not. One or the other. And if God is not God, why are we serving him? We could be playing golf right now. Really? You know? I'm like, what? Why do we serve a God who isn't supernatural? Because if my God isn't going to come through for me, even in our greatest mistake, then who is he? Right? It was amazing how Bill and Jill just read out at the very beginning of the worship set, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know, not our successes, not our failures, not angels nor demons, not the present nor the past. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that is the absolute truth. And that is the truth of God's word, right? And our ungodly beliefs, what it does is it undermines who God is. And Bill Johnson, who's one of my favorite speakers and pastors, he has this amazing saying that says, there are different levels of truth. There are different levels of truth. So, for instance, a level of truth is, I am a sinner. I deserve to rotten hell forever. Okay? I deserve to die for my sins. I am a sinner. And that is absolute truth, isn't it? Right? But then there is a greater truth, that the Father sent his only Son to die for my sin, to pay the penalty of my transactions or my transgressions, and to pay the penalty that I owe, which is death. And he paid for it, and he redeemed me by rising up from the dead 3 days later, and he paid for my sins. And now I'm seated in heavenly places. That is greater truth, right? Amen. In the same way with our ungodly beliefs, where the enemy tries to mix a little bit of truth with a lot of lies. Yes. We got in a car accident. Yes, the situation is dire, but that's just a low level of truth. The higher level of truth is God is my provider. He is my intercessor. He is my champion. He is the one who goes before me and behind me, underneath me, above me. He is the one who covers me, right? And he is the one who turns all things around for good because I love him and I am called according to his purposes. Right? So all of these ungodly beliefs, though they may seem true, they are the very base level of truth. What God is calling us is to renew our minds to a higher level of truth, to higher levels of his righteousness and what he is saying. Right? So for instance, an example is an apparent fact can be, I am a victim of difficult circumstances, but God's truth is I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. You know, according to the textbooks, based on my experiences, I should be selling myself on the street, right? I should be a wreck. I should be on drugs. I should be having major psychological issues. I should be on a medication for depression. I should have so many issues going on with me. I should not be married. If we were married, we would have been divorced. You know, according to the textbook, according to my experiences, I should be a total wreck. But the greater truth of God's word is, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You are more than a conqueror. You are the head and not the tail. You know, God turns around our circumstances. And that is why we serve an incredible, supernatural, awesome, loving, wonderful God, right? That is why we do it. And so it's like, it's realizing that, yes, I may have had a very difficult situation. Yes, my colleague may be the worst person to ever work with in the face of this planet. But what is God saying? You know, what is his higher truth? What is he saying to get each one of us to overcome, right? An inner vow is even a deeper level of ungodly beliefs. What happens is these ungodly beliefs sometimes form into something called an inner vow that is very, very serious. I'm just going to, just one of the definitions of the inner vow is, it's an inner vow are the determinations, statements, and directives made by the mind and heart early in life on how we want to operate our life, okay? We make them in response to negative words and experiences or situations in our lives in order to protect ourselves, okay? They are more powerful but less common than something like bitterroot judgments or ungodly beliefs. Okay, so they're more powerful than godly beliefs, but they're less common. So the nature and function of inner vows are to hold us and to feel and think in a very specific way, right? If an inner vow is made in childhood, it resists the normal maturing process. So for instance, I know experiences where someone said, I never want to grow up. And they were 24 years old and they looked like they were 12. Like, seriously, these seriously affect us and really hold us back. And it's like a programming in our minds. Again, in Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37, I'm just going to read it out. It says, again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. This is Jesus saying, but I tell you, do not swear at all. Either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Whoa. Oaths and promises are from the evil one. Amazing. And it says in James chapter 5, verse 12, above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, or you will be condemned. It's a big deal. So some examples of inner vows are, I will not grow up, or I will never share what I really feel with a woman. It's not safe. You know, it's for men. Or I will never share how I really feel with a man. It's not safe. I will never sing in front of people or in public and be embarrassed again, right? I will never sing in public. I will never speak in public. I will never have children. I will never get angry again, or I will never cry in front of someone again, or, you know, when I become a parent, I will never. Sometimes when we're younger and we have really good intentions, we say to ourselves, I will never hurt my children like my parents hurt me. But then what happens is that begins to stunt our ability to parent, right? And it takes away control from God and into our own hands. I remember actually thinking that, you know, learning all this stuff about of inner healing and stuff. I remember thinking, panicking before I was even met Sam. I'm panicking about my kids. I'm like, I don't want to screw up my children. I don't want to screw up my children. I want them to grow up in a perfect family where they know they're totally loved and totally accepted and totally, you know, blessed to be who they are. And I'm freaking out. And all of a sudden God says to me, well, then where do I come in? I was like, oh, right. Okay, phew. Okay, that's good, God. Thank you. You're the main parent, so it's fine. So I'm allowed to be imperfect. So inner vows are difficult to identify because they're often hidden in our inner being. It's not in our consciousness, but they're very powerful. Inner vows made during our formative years are usually forgotten, but they'll operate in some point in our lives. Kind of like one of those undercover agents. You know how you know, if you're watching a movie about the KGB or something where they have like these secret operatives and you say this one word, donut, and all of a sudden they like become like war machines, kind of like that. That's like inner vows in our lives. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't know, watch Terminator or something. I don't know. You kind of have an idea. So inner vows end up taking a life of their own, right? They persist on producing negative fruit even after the judgments are healed. Okay, this is huge. So in other words, they're supported by strong structures built around them, such as habitual defense mechanism, automatic anger, bitterroot expectation, actions and words that trigger automatic reactions, anxiety and fears. Okay, I'm going to give you an example of this. If there's anything that happens in your life that causes a spike in reactions that totally do not match the situation, chances are it's hitting on an inner vow. Okay, so I'm going to give you an example of this. When I was learning again about inner vows, I was in the school of ministry, and I had a friend of mine named Kenny. Sam, can you come up? I'm going to pretend this is Sam's Kenny. And I like having fun in terms of, like, you know, I was like looking at these markers, and I was like wanting to, you know, tab his nose with the marker. So I was like, smells like grape. Smell it, right? And he smelled it, and I flicked his nose, and I put purple on his nose, right? And I was being cheeky. And then he just grabbed my wrist. He's like, what are you doing? So grab my wrist, Sam, both of them. Like this. He just did that, okay? That's good. Thank you, honey. He didn't hurt me. He didn't threaten me. He didn't say anything negative to me. He just held my wrist, probably his defense mechanism saying, don't nick me again with the marker. But as he's holding me, I felt that he was stronger than me. And the moment I felt he was stronger than me, all of this panic and anger rose in my heart, and I got furious. I got so mad at him that as soon as he let go of me, I glared at him, and I ran off to my room, and I didn't talk to him for 3 days. 3 days I didn't talk to him. And we live in the dorms together. Like, this is school of ministry. You're in one building. You really can't go out. It's winter. It's cold. I avoided him. I didn't talk to him for 3 days. I was furious. I was so angry. And then this talk of the inner vows came up. And I realized when I was younger, through my experiences with my dad, I had made an inner vow. I will never be hurt or controlled by a man. And I didn't even know that inner vow existed until God revealed it to me that when I was young, I said, I will never, ever be controlled by a man. And for me, the fact that Kenny was able to hold me stronger than I was able to let go of meant controlled. It was like, meh, meh, control, control, you know, and I just freaked right out. And I had to let God deal with this major, deep inner vow in my heart that would have totally affected any kind of relationship I would ever have in the future with my husband or even with my children or with any father figures that God was going to bring in my life, right? It would totally mess me up. And so I remember really dealing with this and forgiving my father and going through the healing process. After the 3 days that I stopped being angry with Kenny, we were in service one day and he kind of just punched me, right? Really lightly on my shoulder. And I was like, ooh, feels good. It feels like a massage. Do it on the other side. And instead of punching me normally, he went whack. I was like, what? And it was so funny because I was in so much pain on my arm, but inside I was totally free. So the pain was outside, not inside. And I said, Kenny, do it again. And he went, whack. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I started jumping up and down. He has no idea what's going on. I'm like, God healed me of my inner vow. It hurts so bad, but I'm not mad at you, you know. And so it was like this amazing, amazing moment of like, wow, God, you are just so awesome. You completely transformed me from the inside out. And some of these inner vows can be serious, you guys. I remember on my school of ministry, I heard a story of a woman who was getting ministry, I believe, with the Kilstras. And she wanted, her and her husband had 2 daughters. But in between them, they kept getting miscarriages, like several miscarriages over and over again. And she didn't know why, and it was breaking her heart because they wanted to get pregnant again, but they kept getting these miscarriages. Finally, what happened was they went for ministry, and the Lord revealed to her that when she was younger, she's the only girl of a family of 4 with 3 brothers. Her brothers tortured her big time, right? They would constantly tease her, as brothers do. It's normal. They would tease her and pick on her and, you know, torment her. And so when she was a little girl, she said to herself, I will never have boys. And because she said that, it was affecting her way into her life. After she's forgiven her brothers, after she's totally in a great place, and she wants to have boys, and all of a sudden this inner vow kicked in and began to destroy life in her womb, right? And so these inner vows that are very connected with ungodly beliefs are extremely serious. An easy way to figure out if you have an ungodly belief are statements such as, I will never, or I will always. Right? So anytime you say, I will never do this, or I'm always going to be like this, is usually a statement of an inner vow, right? So we want to deal with these. So what we're going to do is, if you still have your pen and paper out, we're going to deal with these ungodly beliefs and inner vows. Holy Spirit, will you just come right now and begin to speak to each one of us individually, deep in our hearts, Daddy? Will you come and just reveal to us where our inner vows are? What's going on, even beyond our consciousness, Father, beyond what we understand and beyond what we know, Lord, will you come and just reveal to us and highlight in our mind's eye and in our spirit man areas where the enemy has been tripping us up through ungodly beliefs and inner vows? Lord, will you just come right now, Holy Spirit? So what we're going to do is do a little exercise, and we're just going to do one for now. I know some of you in the process of this talk have probably highlighted several ungodly beliefs, but we're just going to do one. Just ask God for the biggest one. And for me, I am stupid was one of many. I had ungodly beliefs about my ethnicity. I had ungodly beliefs about God. I had ungodly beliefs about people. It was a mess. It's still a mess sometimes, but God is dealing with it. So ask the Holy Spirit right now, each one of us, to identify for us an ungodly belief that we have. It could have to do with fears, worries, anger, resentment, hurt, doubt, bitterness, blaming. Those are all good indicators of ungodly beliefs. Just write them down. If you have more than one, you can write it down, but we're going to just deal with one. Okay? So just write it down right now. Express the ungodly belief as 1 to 3 sentence statements. So make it simple, as simple and as concise as possible. So it could be something like, I will not be loved if I don't perform. Or, God doesn't hear my prayers as much as he hears my wife's or my husband's. Or I am not as good at something as so-and-so, whatever it is, just write it down. Okay. And underneath the ungodly belief, let there be some room to write a godly belief. And a good godly belief is a statement that agrees with what God's word is saying is true. So for instance, if it's something like God loves Jill obviously more than he loves me, then what is the word of God saying? The word of God is saying that you are the apple of his eye. I am the apple of his eye, right? That he formed me in my mother's womb, that he loves me with an everlasting love, that he is slow to anger and rich and abounding in loving kindness for me. And so write down underneath your ungodly belief what the godly belief is based on the word of God. Even if you don't feel it's true right now, you know that the word of God says it, so you're going to write it in faith, right? Pure faith right now. I know for me, this was major. Something like, I will always be number two. I will always be someone's plan B was very true for me. Because I remember in my experiences that only solidified this ungodly belief, this one particular boy that I really liked for a long while ended up dating two blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls. I'm like, oh, man. Ended up marrying one, too. So it's like, oh, I will always be someone's plan B, you know. It totally solidified it. And so when I was challenged to write the godly belief, I didn't believe it for a second. I don't believe I'm plan A. I don't believe I'm God's plan A or anyone's plan A. But I'm going to write it down because I know God's word is saying it's true. And I'm going to write it down in faith that that is true. And as God began to renew my heart and my mind, guess what? I became plan A for my husband, who's my plan A, right? So it's pretty awesome. So write the godly belief. And feel free to fine-tune them, you know? Make sure that the godly belief statement fits you. So you can use statements like, with God's help or by his grace. Because if you feel like something like, if your ungodly belief is, I'm a failure, and you write, I'm a success, sometimes that feels too out there. So you can say something like, with God's help, I will be a success, right? Through God's strength, I will be more than a conqueror. And if that will help you walk out into that process, make that godly belief fit you, right? Okay. So hang on to those godly beliefs. And let's just open our hearts to receive. Father, will you come right now? And Father, will you allow each one of us to come before you as a child? We would come before you like that little 10-year-old girl who got to see you face to face. Father, we would just lay aside all of the responsibilities that come with being an adult, that come with being a father or mother, that come with being a wife or a husband, that come with being having a house and a mortgage and a job and all these crazy things that clog up our mind. Father, help us to shed all of those right now and come to you as a little son and a little daughter before your throne. With all of our issues, with all of our hurts, with our ungodly beliefs, Lord, will you come right now? We're going to pray right now for the inner vows. And if you have an inner vow and you know the Lord has highlighted an inner vow, feel free to write that down on your piece of paper as well. And let's just pray this together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the work of the cross and that there is forgiveness and cleansing from all my sin. I confess that I have hardened my heart and made a vow that, and say that vow under your breath to the Lord, that I will never be hurt by a man. I will never be vulnerable. Whatever it is, tell it to the Lord. And I ask that you would forgive me. Yeah, say it together. Amen. I choose to forgive and ask the Holy Spirit to bring up anyone in mind who has caused you to have that that inner vow or solidified that inner vow. If the Lord is saying that inner vow that said, I will never be vulnerable, had to do with that one time where you were really humiliated and you can see those faces and you know exactly who they are, just tell the Lord that you forgive them right now. God, I choose to forgive my mom. I choose to forgive my dad. I choose to forgive that teacher. I choose to forgive that youth leader. God, I choose to forgive those bullies or those friends, whoever it is, my boss. Be specific as you can. Let's continue. And anyone else who contributed. Yeah. So I choose to forgive them and anyone else who contributed to the hardening of my heart. I release them into the freedom of my forgiveness. I choose to forgive myself for the way I responded. I forgive myself for, and whatever it is, it could be something like, I forgive myself for believing the lies or covering my heart or putting up walls. Let's continue. And I ask you to help me to be free from the effects and consequences of hardening my heart, including any vow I have made. I renounce the vow of, and just say that inner vow. Like, I renounce it. I renounce the vow of I will never be vulnerable. I renounce the vow of I will never be controlled by a man, whatever it is. I renounce the vow of I will never treat my kids the same way my parents treated me. Whatever it is, just renounce that vow. Be as specific as possible. Pray this together. By the power and authority of Jesus, I break this vow. I release my spirit, soul, and body to no longer remember it and be free, restored to my original design. You are, in the name of Jesus, you are no longer required to feel, think, and act. You are no longer required to feel, think, and act according to this vow. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I ask that you would come right now and soften each one of our hearts and pour into our hearts everything that we did not receive as a child or we have not received as the son and daughter who we are in your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would pour into each individual right now everything that they missed by putting up walls and these defense mechanisms of inner vows. Father, will you come and just fill each one? Any area where relationship has been stolen from them through these inner vows, or just situations and blessings have been stolen through these inner vows. Father, will you come and just restore them right now? Father, I thank you that you are a God who restores what the locusts have eaten. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God who turns back the clock. I thank you that you are a God who just reverses the irreversible. And Father, will you come right now and begin to heal each one of your children's hearts from the inside out, Daddy. All these inner vows, Father, we just break them by the power of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We're going to now minister into ungodly beliefs. And we're just going to do one for now, but I really want to encourage you to email Ramesh and Elsie, and we can send you these prayers that you can pray it over yourself and with your husband and with your wife and with your kids. But let's just do this one prayer of freedom for the ungodly belief. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sin for believing the lie that, and you can say your ungodly belief under your breath to the Lord. I forgive those who have contributed to my forming of this ungodly belief. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for receiving this ungodly belief, for living my life based on it, and for any way I have judged others because of it. I receive your forgiveness. on the basis of your forgiveness. Lord, I choose to forgive myself for believing this lie. I renounce and break agreement with this ungodly belief. I choose to accept and believe the godly belief that, and the godly belief that the Lord gave you, you know, by God's grace, I will be a success. You know, whatever it is, just whatever your godly belief is, speak it over yourself right now. That I am loved by my Father, that I am the apple of his eye, that I am the head and not the tail, that I am brilliant because the Lord is brilliant in me. Whatever it is, just speak that godly belief over yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command all the effects of these ungodly beliefs that have come up right now to come to death at the cross of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that these new godly beliefs take seed and build root in each one of your children's lives, God. I pray that you would help your son and daughters to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit and to recognize when they are falling back into the old thought patterns. Lord, will you just hit stop right now to the tape recorder that plays in our mind? Father, will you not let us off the hook? Holy Spirit, will you wave a big red flag over our hearts, and our mind's eye every time we slip back into thinking those ungodly beliefs, Lord? Will you just come and just take hold of our hearts and take control of our minds? Father, we take every thought captive, and we want our minds to be renewed by you, Lord. Father, will you come and renew our minds with your truth? Father, I pray that new godly thought patterns and habits will be the fruit from today. Lord, I bless TACF Scarborough to walk in new freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that these ungodly beliefs that have been holding your children back have now been broken, that they will see immediate change. They will see lasting fruit. They will see supernatural life begin to take form in each one of them, Lord. I pray, Daddy, that areas where it felt like things cannot change, like I feel like I'm in a situation that cannot change, that they will see you begin to miraculously change their circumstances, God. So will you come right now, Holy Spirit, and fill each one of your sons and daughters? And Father, I pray that each one will continue on this amazing process of dealing with our ungodly beliefs, that each one will say to one another, hey, that was an ungodly belief. It's not true. You know, and Father, no matter how much they seem true based on our experiences, we know that there is a greater truth, which is your word. And in according to your word, we are overcomers. According to your word, the situations we are in now are not the situations we have to live in. And I thank you, Lord, that in any time we come through circumstances that are difficult, you are only bringing them our way for us to witness your supernatural power, for us to witness who you are in our lives. So kingdom of God come, will of God be done in each one of our lives, Lord. And I pray that today we'll begin the amazing journey, Father, of dealing with our inner vows, of dealing with our ungodly beliefs, and letting you come deeper and deeper and to renew our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So this message was a lot more practical. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This message is a lot more practical, and I just want to encourage each one of you to really take a hold of it. And anytime there's opportunity to get more healing, like jump on it. Anytime, like encounter weekend, jump on that encounter weekend. A re-encounter, jump on that re-encounter. Anytime there's a seminar that's being offered at TACF, which happens once every 3 months at least, jump on it. Because, like, you know, Deborah mentioned in the bio, it said that I used to be a really shy person. I remember the first time I was asked to speak in front of anyone, I ran to the back of the church, fell on my face, and cried. And I said, God, I can't talk in front of anyone, right? I had this major ungodly belief that no one would want to hear anything that I had to say. major ungodly belief. And to the point where I didn't even have an opinion. I couldn't even pick between Coke and Pepsi. That's how much I didn't have an opinion, because no one cared in my mind. And God really dealt with that. And he's completely changed the course of my life through dealing with my ungodly beliefs and through dealing with hurts in my past, right? So I really want to bless each one of you. And like Deborah said, like, if God can change me, he can change anybody. You know, if he can change my family, I tell this to my cell girls all the time. If he can change my family, he can change anybody's family, right? So I really want to encourage you to just embrace healing process. Embrace God. Embrace what he's doing in your lives. Amen? Amen. Well, it's such a blessing to be here.